Texas said on Tuesday, 2nd of March, that it was lifting its mask requirement and would allow businesses to fully reopen, the most expensive step by any U.S. state to remove coronavirus restrictions, and Americans across the country are eager to emerge after a year of isolation in the coronavirus pandemic. The move by Texas, with its 29 million residents, goes further than similar actions by other states and cities that are rushing to ease as many limits as they can. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Julie Bossman and Lucy Tompkins. The piece is titled, Texas Drops Its Virus Restrictions as a Wave of Reopenings Takes Hold. Texas said on Tuesday, 2nd of March, that it was lifting its mask requirement and would allow businesses to fully reopen, the most expansive step by any U.S. state to remove coronavirus restrictions, as Americans across the country are eager to emerge after a year of isolation. The move by Texas, with its 29 million residents, goes further than similar actions in other states and cities that are rushing to ease as many limits as they can. It is now time to open Texas 100%, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, adding that COVID has not suddenly disappeared, but state mandates are no longer needed. All around the country, governors and mayors are celebrating what is feasible, what is safe, and what is politically practical. In Chicago, Illinois, tens of thousands of children returned to public school this week, while snow-covered parks and playgrounds around the city that have been shuttered since last March were opened up again. Mississippi ended its mask mandate too. Restaurants in Massachusetts were allowed to operate without capacity limits, and South Carolina erased its limit on large gatherings. San Francisco, California announced that indoor dining, museums, movie theaters, and gymnasiums could reopen on a limited basis. But federal health officials have worried that state and local leaders may be moving too fast. I know people are tired, they want to get back to life, to normal, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, said on Monday. But we're not there yet. The divergent guidance has left many Americans in a quandary, wondering whether to follow the lure of optimism as some officials in California, Michigan, and North Carolina endorse widespread reopenings of businesses and schools, or to heed their own lingering concerns about the coronavirus and the warnings of federal health officials who have said it is premature to lift too many limits. As Kitty Sherry, a 36-year-old, sent her son Jude off to his Chicago elementary school this week, for the first time in nearly a year, she felt caught in a middle ground between elation and worry. There's a part of me that's really excited that he's back in school, Kitty Sherry said, but she said she worried about the health risk to teachers and said her family was still avoiding restaurants and other indoor spaces because of the coronavirus pandemic. It's not over yet, she said, so there's not too much celebration. Government officials have sent mixed signals, often cautious messages, to the public. Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor for COVID-19, said this week that for small groups of people who have all been fully vaccinated, there was low risk in gathering together at home. Activities beyond that, he said, would depend on data, modeling, and good clinical common sense, adding that the Center for Disease Control, CDC, would soon have guidance for what vaccinated people could do safely. The message that many Americans are hearing from their elected officials, including leaders from both political parties, is upbeat. Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan said on Tuesday that she was easing restrictions on businesses and allowing family members who have tested negative for the coronavirus to visit nursing home residents. Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts said that while residents should continue to wear face masks in public, it was time for more limits on businesses to be eased. In Kentucky, all but a handful of school districts are now offering in-person classes, while the state races to vaccinate teachers as quickly as possible. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear told reporters last week that the state's falling infection statistics showed that immunizations were beginning to make an impact. "It means vaccinations work," he said. "We're already seeing it. We're seeing it in these numbers. It's really a positive sign." In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott's lifting of limits goes into effect on 10th of March. Some Democrats sharply criticized the idea, saying it suggests a more optimistic picture of the state's progress with the coronavirus than the reality. There are reasons for optimism. Vaccinations have increased significantly in recent weeks, and daily reports of new coronavirus cases have fallen across the country from their January peaks. The positive signs come with caveats, though. Though national statistics have improved drastically since January, they have plateaued in the last week or so, and the United States is still reporting more than 65,000 new cases a day on average, comparable to the peak of last summer's surge, according to a New York Times database. The country is averaging more than 2,000 deaths per day, though deaths are a lagging indicator because it can take weeks after being infected with the coronavirus to die from it. Also, new, more contagious variants of the coronavirus are circulating in the United States, with the potential to push case counts upwards again. Testing has fallen 30% in recent weeks, leaving experts worried about how quickly new outbreaks will be known. And millions of Americans are still waiting to be vaccinated, including workers in restaurants, which are now open in vast numbers across the country. In states like Florida or South Dakota, schools and businesses have been widely open for months, and many local and state officials across the country have been easing limitations since last summer. Still, the pace of reopenings has quickened considerably in the last few days. "We're hopefully in between what I hope will be the last big wave and the beginning of the period where I hope COVID-19 will become very uncommon," said Robert Horsberg, an epidemiologist at Boston University's School of Public Health. Horsberg added, "But we don't know that. I've been advocating for us to just hang tight for 4 to 6 more weeks." Jennifer Nuzzo, an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, said there are signs that the country may be through the worst of the pandemic, but she's still worried that states are reopening too hastily, repeating the same mistakes made in earlier periods of the coronavirus pandemic when loosened rules were followed by new spikes in cases. "Rather than opening a new lower risk things and seeing just to make sure it doesn't change the numbers, it just feels like they're just kind of opening the floodgates," Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo emphasized.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم. Welcome dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding their Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are mostly based upon the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We have in our studio guest speaker, Sister Sukaina Taqawi, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Salaamu alaikum and welcome to the program, dear Sister Sukaina Taqawi.
Alaikum salam. Thank you very much for inviting me to this program.
Thank you very much for coming. So we'll start off with the first question. I'm a mother of 8-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. I have noticed my son has been acting very weird and fusses over everything lately. He annoys and disturbs his sister and makes her cry. I'd appreciate if you can give me a solution to this problem.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very common problem in those families who have twins, or their children are of the same age. Maybe the age difference is 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The mother says that the boy is harassing is trying to annoy the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think this is a reaction to show that something is bothering him.
Mm.
Something is bothering the boy.
Yes.
Right? I think he feels that he's emotionally insecure.
Okay.
Right? He thinks that all the love of the family, all the attention of the family is towards the girl.
Yes.
Right? He can't say it. So he's showing it in this way, like, you know, he starts...
He's reacting.
Reacting. He's trying to annoy the sister, right? Mm.
So he's trying to catch attention.
Yeah, he's trying to draw attention, yes. Okay. Right? Because he feels that he's emotionally insecure.
All right.
Now, this has the root of this problem. The reason is it can be it can be either the family or the people or the child himself.
You mean the people around
him? The people around him, yes. Okay. The people around him, the family, apart from the parents.
Okay.
Right? Or the friends.
Okay.
Usually, sometimes the family unknowingly, unintentionally, right,
mm-hmm.
start praising one child in front of the other.
Okay,
like maybe one child is more obedient.
Okay,
the child is more intelligent, right? Maybe the child helps a lot at home, so the mother or the father unintentionally, unknowingly praise him. Right?
Praise her, you mean the sister?
Yeah, I mean the sister, yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking generally,
All right.
The parents praise one child.
Yes.
Right, in front of the other child.
Okay.
And when the other child sees this, he feels that he's left out.
Yes.
He feels that his parents don't love him. Right?
Okay.
So it is the family who arouse, we call this jealousy maybe.
Yeah.
You know, who arouse jealousy in the children.
It is
the family sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes it's not the family.
It could be just unintentionally.
It's unintentionally. It's not knowingly. Yeah. It's unknowingly. Right?
Yes.
The second, sometimes it's not the family.
Okay.
It can be the friends, the family around, people around.
Okay.
Right? You know, like if there are two children, one child is more chubby, for example, or he's more good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People around tend to praise the child more.
Okay.
Right? They get attracted towards him more.
Okay. Not realizing they even don't, they actually
yes, they don't realize they don't do it intentionally. It's mm-hmm. unintentional, right? But they tend to praise that one more. A child who's more friendly.
Okay, before we continue, Sister Taqawi, we'll just go for a break. Let's take a break, dear listeners. Stay tuned and don't go away. We'll be back soon.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. So, Sister Taqawi, we were talking about this mother who had twins, and one of them was reacting quite badly towards the sister. So you mentioned that the parents or the family or the friends might have something to do with this reaction that yes. he's having.
Yeah, it's the family who sometimes arouses this jealousy, okay. right? It's a reaction. It's a reaction to show that something is bothering him.
Okay.
So sometimes the family are the reason, okay. the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not the parents, it's the people around,
All right?
The friends, the other family members.
Okay.
And sometimes it's neither the parents nor people around.
Okay.
It's the child himself.
Okay.
Right? For example, let me give an example. One child, right, that child has got the ability to make more friends. He's more social.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the other child doesn't have the ability to make friends. Right? It is in his nature. It's not his fault. It is in his nature.
So he just feels it naturally.
And he feels that, you know, people gather around the sibling. He feels that he's left out. He feels that nobody loves him. Mm. He feels that people are giving more attention to the other sibling.
Okay.
Right? So these are the reasons why the children show this kind of behavior. It's that, you know, it's kind of a reaction. They want to show that they are not happy.
All right.
Right? Yeah. Now, if this is not solved, what are the consequences? We see that the consequences come in the form of harassing each other,
right.
annoying each other,
okay.
right? Mm-hmm. Like we have got cases where the brothers or one of the siblings, they break the other's toys,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they tear their books,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Or they try to destroy her things,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it is not solved, you know, it can even cause a big crime.
Okay.
Like we have an example in the Quran.
Okay.
The example of the sons of Hazrat Yaqub, right? Because of jealousy, they committed a big crime.
Yes.
To the extent that they put their own brother in the well.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
So this is because of jealousy. Jealousy has to be solved. Parents have to give attention to their children.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, what should the parents do? What
yes,
is the solution?
What should they do?
In the solution, the first thing is that the parents should not get angry.
Okay.
Once they know that the problem, where the problem lies.
All right.
Once they know that this is a reaction because he's feeling insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the first thing they have to do is that they should not get angry at their child.
Okay.
They should not get annoyed.
Okay, so how should they react then?
Yeah. Another thing they have to know is that every individual is different.
Okay. Right?
Every individual is different. One person, one child might be strong in maths. The other child might be good in arts.
Okay.
One child can solve mental problems. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The other child might be good in sports.
True, yes.
The abilities of every child, of every person is different.
Okay.
So what they have to do is that they have to try and discover the hidden talents of their children.
That's a good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They try and discover the hidden talents and then try and blossom them.
Mm-hmm.
Try and try and train them in such a way that these talents come out.
Okay.
Right? This will give confidence to their children.
True, yes. So they make them feel that they are good in something as well.
Yes, they are doing something as well.
Mm.
Right? And the third thing is that they should show love to their children.
Okay.
They should praise their children. You know, praising their children is very important. If a child does a good thing, right? The mother should praise her.
Yeah, but we shouldn't overdo it, of course. Because it could lead to bad consequences then, right?
No, praise is important. Yes, what do you mean by overdoing it?
Like, you know, some people just go on and on praising their kid. Like,
yeah, yes. Once,
to an extent that he actually feels that he's good in something.
Yes, he is important and his family knows what he's doing.
Okay, let's take a break, dear listeners. Stay tuned and don't go away. We'll be back soon.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah will write a reward for he who kisses his child, and Allah will bring happiness on Judgment Day to he who makes his child happy.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا
Welcome back. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Yes, Sister Taqawi, we were talking about the child who was very insecure at home, and you gave us a few solutions. You know, the solutions were that the parents shouldn't get angry at the boy and try and love the child and praise the child, and that they should understand that every individual and child is different and has different abilities. Yes, you have some more answers to that?
Yes, as I say that, every child is different.
Mm-hmm.
So the duty of the parents is to discover their talents,
yes.
Right? And train them in such a way that their talents come out, they blossom,
okay.
Right? And this will give them confidence,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then after they do something good, the parents should praise them.
Okay.
Praising is very important. You know, when the parents praise their children, the children feel important. They feel they've done something.
Okay.
Right? And the other thing which is important is that showing love.
All right.
Right? We have to show love to our children. It is very important to tell them that you love them. They have to know that their parents love them.
Okay.
We have a lot of ahadith about kissing their children, mm. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to kiss the children.
Mm.
He used to play with them to show his love.
Okay.
And at this time, when we are showing our love, we should be equal between the boy and the girl.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Yeah, there should be no difference between the boy or the girl, or no difference between the siblings.
Okay.
Right? The child who is more intelligent and the child who is not intelligent, both have to get the same love from their parents.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right? There was a time when man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a man kissing his son. And after a while, the daughter came, and the man did not kiss the daughter. The Prophet said, why aren't you kissing her? Both the children have to be equally loved, mm-hmm. Right? So if we want to solve this problem, that the children should not harass each other,
mm-hmm.
They should not fight with each other.
Okay.
It is the parents, right, who have to praise them, who have to show their love. And once they do this, all the other problems will be solved.
Okay, thank you very much, Sister Taqawi, for the beautiful points. And I hope this mother or these parents can solve their problems with their children. And the main points that she mentioned were to praise the child and love the child. And the very important one is to actually understand that every child and every individual is different and to discover their talents and, inshallah, blossom them. Thank you very much for joining us on this program. And dear audience, if you have any questions, any comments, any suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and Facebook page, Call of Islam Radio. Inshallah, till the next program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned, perfect with no flaws at all, are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day by contemplating upon an aphorism of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Personality is to avoid doing a matter secretly if you feel embarrassed to do it openly.
IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to The Light. An Australian conservation group says it will build the world's first ever platypus refuge facility.
We're also going to build a platypus refuge, one of its kinds around the world. This refuge will be able to take up to 6 to 5 platypuses in a time of crisis. Right now there is so much to learn about the platypus, and we know so little. These facilities will be critical in building our knowledge so that we don't let this iconic creature slip off the earth.
Platypuses are among Australia's most unique and elusive animals. They're normally found across the country's eastern seaboard. The strange-looking creatures are the only remaining representatives of their family. They spend most of their lifetime underwater and alone. Australian authorities say the planned refuge facility can give them more information about the animal's preferred environment and breeding. Many habits of the platypuses have remained a mystery to researchers. A family therapist in the U.S. state of California has come up with a brilliant idea to calm her angry clients, and that's a rage room. The Yashica offers stressed people a smash session. The participants are allowed to destroy different items with a hammer, golf club, or baseball bat. They are required to wear protective gloves and face shields. During the session, the therapist also tries to teach the participants different ways to manage their stress in a healthy way.
So it's actually the first rage room to incorporate a therapeutic aspect. So when people come in, they're not just coming in to break stuff. They're really coming in to get the tools and techniques they need to manage stress and health in a healthy manner and a healthy way.
Yashika hopes the smash therapy will be largely accepted as a productive way to release tension. The idea was originally a simple stress reliever for everyday problems, but it was warmly received after everything started shutting down due to the pandemic. Hungry for music? You can now order a concert instead of a pizza if you live in the German city of Frankfurt. Members of Frankfurt's Philharmonic Orchestra have decided to help music lovers now that concert halls are closed due to the pandemic. They offer short personal concerts at people's staircases for free. Instead, Frankfurt residents can donate money to the musicians, who say the main goal is to revive the creative industry.
We play miniature concerts in people's homes of about 10 minutes, and we deliver along a route in our neighborhood so that people can enjoy some live music. For us, it's just beautiful being able to play for people again. What's great and absurd about this concept at the same time is that we play in order to keep a distance, yet we are so much closer than in a conventional concert hall, and that makes it so wonderful for us.
Those who ordered the concerts have called their experience delightful. They say the music delivery service has filled the void of the closure of theaters and music halls. The personal concerts can be booked online, performers observe health protocols and social distancing too. A rare black rhino calf becomes an internet celebrity as a video of her first wobbly steps has gone viral. The cute baby was born last week at Adubo Zoo in New South Wales, Australia. The newborn, yet to be named, has three siblings. Her mother is 18 years old and her father passed away a few months ago. Zookeepers watched the calf and her mother through cameras in order to create a proper atmosphere for them to make bond. The species is critically endangered because of poaching and habitat loss. Sophisticated scanning technology is revealing new secrets about Littlefoot. That's a well-preserved fossil of an early human forerunner dating back to nearly 3.7 million years ago.
Now, the importance of it is not only that it is the only complete skull of an Australopithecus from anywhere, but it is the only one with a complete skeleton as well. Furthermore, it is the oldest Australopithecus in southern Africa, dating to 3.67 million years ago. So it tells us a lot about our early ancestry. Now, we're not saying that Littlefoot represents a direct ancestor to modern humans, but certainly a relative, certainly a very close relative of our ancestors.
The fossil was found in South Africa in the 1990s. It's now being studied at a particle accelerator facility in Oxfordshire, Britain. The facility allows scientists to produce X-ray images of the fossil with extreme detail. They say the result has been fascinating.
The bone microstructure look amazing because we can really see the different tissues, the proportions, the thickness, and also the size of the different canals. So all of this make, I think for me, make Littlefoot more like a living person.
So far, scientists have found that Littlefoot stood on her feet. They know she had gorilla-like features such as powerful hands, which enable her to climb trees. But she also had different traits compared to the human species believed to have first appeared 300,000 years ago. The Nigerian artist has become famous for his skills in creating art from coconut shells. Nathaniel Hodonu uses the shells to make stunning artworks in different forms, including portraits and sculptures, as well as home accessories. He collects shells from local oil factories, which throw them away as waste. He began his work in 2006 after his art teacher gave him two coconuts as a present. Hodonu now teaches art lovers creative ways to transform waste coconut shells into beautiful handicraft.
Tourism in Oman took a nosedive during the COVID-19 pandemic, sadly, much like many places in the world. But one village managed to turn its fortunes around by transforming some ancient homes into to hotels and touristic attractions. Nestled in the high mountains of Oman, the village of Misfat al-Ibrahim offers some of the most beautiful and serene natural areas for trail running and rock climbing. Now the village has repurposed ancient mud brick homes into boutique hotels. The beige-coloured homes with walls of handmade mud brick are elegant and simple, and the interior spaces are furnished with traditional wood and textiles.
Misfat al-Ibrahim attracts many tourists, so people and project owners in the village have planned on expanding touristic projects. You'll find heritage hotels, popular cafes and restaurants. We as a company decided to provide various adventure-related activities too.
The centuries-old homes were renovated for safety and comfort to combine old Omani life with modern amenities. The village is near what is called Oman's Grand Canyon and has somewhere around 800 residents. Many tourists have visited the area because of the heritage hotels and environmental components in the ancient village. These inns have attracted many tourists to the area despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Almost everyone has seen snowmen, but how many people have encountered a snow snake in their lifetime? A family in the US has awed their neighborhood with a fascinating ice sculpture of a serpent. The household in Colorado spent 10 hours making the impressive artwork in their front yard. They first created the shape of the animal and then sprayed paint on it to bring it to life. The sculpture measures 23 meters in length. It has attracted many neighbors and passers-by who occasionally take pictures with it. This is not the first time the family made headlines with their ice work. In 2019, they caught people's eyes with an ice sculpture of a tiger. A giant ice disc with an even greater message here. People in Finland have carved a humongous carousel in Lake Lapajärvi to raise awareness about global warming. An inventor and a team of helpers spent days in sub-zero temperatures to create what they say is the world's largest ice carousel. The rotating machine is over 300 meters wide and is spun by motorboats. The makers also carved another smaller disc in the ice next to it. The two carousels were commissioned by local authorities who want to bring attention to climate change and shortening winters in Finland. An iceberg the size of Greater London breaks off in Antarctica years after the first cracks appeared. The iceberg detached from the Brunt ice shelf near a British research station and is expected to either move away or run aground not far from the ice shelf. Scientists were expecting the calving of the iceberg to happen after monitoring the area with GPS instruments and satellite imagery on a daily basis. They discovered the first cracks almost 10 years ago, but they are skeptical about the role of climate change in this case.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. This is today's special from IRB English Radio. So welcome, salam and peace be upon all of you. good moral and good temperateness in Islam is our topic.
To teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Today, Saturday, is the 22nd of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Book of Allah, Holy Quran, and we'll listen to 199 and 200 of Surah A'raf.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Khudhil 'afwa wa'mur bil 'urfi wa'rid 'anil jahilin.
Take what is given freely, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the ignorant.
Wa'imma yanzaghan من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه سميع عليم.
And if an evil suggestion comes to you from Satan, then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He is hearing and knowing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Addressing the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, the verse points to three parts of the duties of leaders and preachers. It begins telling the Holy Prophet not to be strict with people and to accept their excuses and to avoid demanding them anything beyond their ability, however he should conciliate people. The second command is that he, Prophet Muhammad, should enjoin people to do good deeds and what wisdom approves as worthy achievements and Allah has introduced them as good things. In the third stage, it commands him to have patience and endurance against the ignorant people without having any dispute with them.
Sight of your smile, so pure and white, just like the moon in the sky, shining so bright. You give me strength, ooh, you give me life. Give everything to anything, whatever will take to see your smile.
Good moral and good temperateness in Islam. One of the great features of Islam is the moderation that is found in this religion in all fields, in economy, politics, society, and associating with others. Most people assume that being good-tempered, or as it's said these days, having successful public relationship, means to consider every other person as your friend. The same way some Christians promote their religion as the symbol of love and friendship and claim that one is not complete unless he possesses nothing but love and friendship. Some Hindu religions also believe in the principle of pure love and friendship. But one must say that love and friendship are necessary but not enough. To have a friendship that is based on reality and seeking the truth is needed before, it is this type of love that can prevent the misuse of others. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the concept and practice of being lenient to other people. In Islamic books on moral teachings, it's indicated that having good behavior and being lenient to other people can be found out as in one of these two ways and practices. One of them is having the moral virtues and acquiring them and adding those moral virtues to ourselves, such that those people who are usually smiling and they have a very light moral attitude and treat people with kindness, they are usually said to have a very lenient attitude to other people. Now we find that those people who are really lenient to other people, they must consider the point that the dignity shouldn't be harmed, because not all people may understand the meaning of being lenient on the part of other people. Now we find that, for example, humbleness, philanthropy, friendship, sincerity, sense of fraternity and sacrifice, kindness and other moral features, moral characteristics, all of them are good, but some people may be blind to all these characteristics. In our daily life, we experience it, and we find that some people may have little sense of kindness, such that when something good is done to them, they may imagine that other people were expected to be kinder to them, as if they regard themselves as being much more superior to other people.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Today is a special and the effects of being good-tempered on achieving success. One may think that many people are not good-tempered and yet have very successful lives. However, the Quran introduces being soft and kind to people as a means of reaching goals. Almighty Allah says to His Apostle, "It is by Allah's mercy that you are gentle to them. Had you been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have surely scattered from around you. So excuse them and plead for forgiveness for them, and consult them in their affairs. And once you are resolved, put your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who trust in Him." Chapter 3, verse 159. Allah introduces being good-mannered and good-tempered as the essential element that made the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family successful in guiding people.
It's so hard to explain what I'm feeling, but I guess it's okay.
So keep believing there's something deep inside, something that's calling. It's calling you and I. It's taking us up high to feel it. A simple act of kindness brings such meaning. A smile can change a life, a story.
What is the path of good morals? The path to happiness is certainly one on which good morals flourish. The person walking on this path must find love, tolerance, generosity, forgiveness, modesty, peace, humility, and selflessness. They must also find justice, honesty, charity, and mutual advice of consultation, as well as other morals. It is also a path that makes the person overcome the self and its desire so as to obtain high morals and an abundance of good manners. Morality is not a luxury that can be dispensed with. Rather, its status comes at the forefront of the fundamentals on which the direction of life depends. If individuals' morals are good, then this will be reflected positively in the contentment of their lives and those of their communities. If, however, these morals are bad, then they will all be wretched and live miserably. Therefore, Islam is keen to instill virtues in the hearts of its followers and to urge them to adhere to these virtues.
Being an ethical person can help me in my career. It can enrich me. And we see that now in businesses. Businesses, they have a very strict moral code, ethical code. You have to be courteous with customers. You have to be nice. You have to be respectful. You have to be honest. Don't lie. All this stuff. Now, what's their motive? It isn't any godly motive. It's because the better customer service, the more ethical you are in your, you know, you're honest, you don't lie about your products, you don't lie about your laws in your business, the more transparent and honest you are and respectful, the more money you make. So being ethical can enrich you, right? Because remember, if you have a shop or a business and you keep on lying and you keep on deceiving people, eventually you're going to lose business. Likewise, we see CEOs of companies. They have to live a moral life. That's why we see if they're engaged in any scandals, moral scandals, right away they may lose their job. They may lose their endorsements. We see that also with athletes. As soon as an athlete starts misbehaving, even though it has nothing to do, he's a basketball player, he's a football player, but he has, for example, an affair, or, you know, there's a clip of him insulting someone, he may lose many endorsements, millions of dollars. He may even be fired from the team that he's playing with. So the idea is, it pays to have ethical conduct.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com www.ifrib.org/en. This is IRIB English Radio.